Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. You ever had a friend who joined a cult? I did. When I lived in California, a good friend of mine wanted to be an actor. And he got in with a guy who promised him he would be a great actor. He'd get him all these wonderful movie roles. He just had to pay the guy a whole bunch of money in advance, and then, well, his future was golden. It wasn't a religious cult. This wasn't a guy who joined the Moonies. By the way, if you ever read the Washington Times, don't. It's owned by the self-declared Messiah, Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who famously denies his followers protein and has them say sexual fluids and declared himself the Messiah and a whole bunch of things. And when I look at Jim Jones in Guyana, I saw a documentary of that recently. I certainly saw the power of the religious cult. After all, that's where we got the expression, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Because, of course, Jim Jones in Jonestown, Guyana, gave his followers poison in the Kool-Aid. Poison that eventually would kill them in one of the largest mass suicides in, well, the last century or so. My friend wasn't joining a religious cult. It wasn't that kind of a cult, but what it was a one-man enterprise where he didn't really give any answers as to how he would do anything. But this guy told my friend, my hardworking friend as an actor in Los Angeles, that his career would be made. And all he had to do was pay all this money up front and mortgage his house and give him all this stuff, and bingo, he'd be made. And there were others who had joined that cult, and they had meetings, and they would meet all the time, and this guy would yell and scream at them and make them better actors. Well, when he told me about this guy, I was suspicious. It sounded like a scam to me. I told my friend, who I'll call him Bill. His name was not Bill. I don't really intend to embarrass him on the air. So all you know is his name was not Bill. But I told Bill that I thought this was a scam. I said I'd be happy to meet the guy, but I didn't trust it. No, friends and family were not allowed to meet him. Okay, now I was further skeptical of this guy. Then, a few weeks later, Bill's wife came to see me. This wasn't her name, but we will call her, Laura. That was not her name. But Laura came to me and said, you know, Bill is trying to put a mortgage on our home, and Bill has emptied our bank accounts and is giving it all to this guy, and I don't trust him. And I said, Laura, I don't trust him either. I told Bill that, but Bill wouldn't listen to me. Well, Laura said, well, I've been telling him that, and it's starting to affect our marriage. And I said, well, that's really severe. And I called Bill yet again, and Bill dismissed it, told me that Laura wasn't a believer, just like I wasn't a believer, and if we weren't going to support him, well, then he could do without us. A few weeks later, Laura called me again. Their marriage was over. Bill had gone entirely into the throes of this cult. And she wanted to know if she could stay with me, actually, for a couple nights while she found a new place to live. And so she stayed with me. I'm telling you this story. Well, let me just finish the story before I tell you why I'm telling it, though I think many of you can guess why I'm sharing the story. After Laura came to stay with me for a while and finally moved out, I didn't hear from Bill for a very long time. Bill had been my friend for many, many years. We had been close. We used to hang out, spend a lot of time together. When he married Laura, I loved her, and I got to spend a lot of time with both of them. But after Bill joined the cult, in this case, it was, a professional cult. It wasn't a religious cult. But after he joined the cult of this leader who promised him everything and only required Bill to pay everything, well, I made clear to Bill, particularly after Laura moved out, I made one last phone call to him, told him I thought he was making a horrible, horrible mistake, that this guy is not to be trusted, that he's giving up all his money in the hope of some kind of wonderful thing that there was no evidence this guy had ever done or could do. I thought he was being scammed. I thought Laura was a wonderful person. I thought he should save his marriage. Well, Bill not only did not take my advice, he hung up on me. And for years later, I would see Laura from time to time. She got over it, which was terrible. They'd been married many, many years, but she got over it, and she went on to do a new life. But Bill, my good friend, was no longer my friend. He was incommunicado. Until one day, 5 years later, I think it was, seemed like many, many years later, I got a handwritten letter, several pages long, 8 or 10 detailed, single-spaced pages, front and back, by Bill, apologizing to me, telling me that I was right, that it was a cult, that this man not only took all his money, but mistreated him and the other people in it, and he went into a lot of sordid details about all the things this guy did. I'm thankful it wasn't physically abusive, but it was certainly mentally abusive, financially abusive. And basically, my friend Bill wanted to be my friend again. He asked me for an apology. He knew he couldn't get his marriage back, but he wanted to be my friend again. And he gave me a phone number. I called him. He came over. We had a long, long, long chat into the night where he apologized profusely and said I was right all along. But you know what? A friendship was dead. I tried a few times afterwards, tried to rekindle, but that happy-go-lucky guy that I used to know, who was really funny and charming and, frankly, who's a decent actor. He wasn't bad as an actor. Well, it was gone. Something had been killed inside him. And frankly, I haven't talked to Bill in, more than 10 years. Okay, why have I shared this story? You've probably guessed it. On Facebook, and many of you feel free to come to my Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk or even my personal page. Just let me know you listen to the show, and I'll invite you to be my friend. facebook.com/MarkLevine6, MarkLevine6. On my Facebook page, I've been writing a lot, both before and after the election. Mostly talking about, the awful things that our next president did. All the cons he pulled, all the people he didn't pay, all the fraud that he committed at so-called Trump University, this scam where he would get middle-class people to fork over their life savings to watch a few internet YouTube videos by people Donald Trump claimed were experts but really were just nobodies that he got to trick these people. But it was Donald Trump, and it was his name, and they were going to get rich quick. And it kind of reminds me of the guy that cheated my friend in Los Angeles. He probably would have got away with it, Donald would have, if he hadn't run for president, trying to pull a much, much bigger con on, the whole world. Because those people would have had a hard time getting their money back. But with all the publicity and the lawsuit they filed, Donald Trump did pay those people he defrauded $25 million, basically admitting that he defrauded them. Oh, I know he didn't technically admit it. Those lawsuits never do. But you don't pay $25 million unless you think you've done something wrong. In any case, all the other people Donald defrauded in his bankruptcies, and we can go into detail. You probably know how he would borrow all this money, not pay it back, then declare the losses on his tax returns, basically keep $1 billion for himself, not pay the government back, not pay his creditors back, just cheat everybody. Buy pianos, didn't pay the piano guy back. 3,500 separate lawsuits of people who, as Trump's standard practice is, he hires them for a service, they do the service, he doesn't pay the bill. He waits for them to sue him, and only then does he offer them a 60% of what he owes them, and they, knowing that the cost of suing is higher than the cost of taking it, usually take it. Again, that's just the 3,500 that managed to sue. A lot of people, when they're defrauded, if Donald Trump defrauds you out of only $2,000, you probably don't think it's worthwhile to file a lawsuit, even $5,000. But the reason I told you the story of my friend who joined the cult is I want to know how to address Trump voters. You see, I can go online, and I have, and I say the truth, which is that education, more than anything else, determined how people vote in this election. Some said it was income, some said it was race. Yeah, those both played a role, but education, more than gender, race, income, anything else, determined who you voted for in the last election. If you were highly educated and rich, you voted for Hillary Clinton. If you were highly educated and poor, you voted for Hillary Clinton. If you were very rich but did not have much of an education, you tended to vote for Donald Trump. If you were very poor and did not have much of an education, you tended to vote for Donald Trump. You can even look at it by race. Yeah, black voters overwhelmingly supported Hillary, but the least educated black voters were the most likely to support Donald Trump. White men overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump, but the educated white men, the most educated, did not. So when I point out this fact, or I tell people they've been cheated or defrauded or misled by Donald Trump, the people often get angry at me. They say I'm condescending. They say I'm presumptuous. They say I'm arrogant. Who am I, smug person living a decent life in a city where our economy is booming? I'm one of the elite. I mean, I went to Harvard and Yale. I am not at all a man of the people, they would say. I mean, it's true. I did go to Harvard and Yale, and I represent Alexandria, the Northern Virginia, being the richest part of Virginia. And I represent a very liberal city. It's true. We don't suffer a lot of the real horrors that are going on in rural America right now. That's all true. But I still think rural America is joining a cult. I still think Trump voters are, in effect, joining a cult, because Donald Trump is not going to give them anything he promised. Like the guy that promised to make my friend a great actor, Donald Trump has promised to bring coal back, to bring manufacturing back. He promised to be the working man's billionaire, but in his cabinet are all just a bunch of billionaires, and they're not working people's billionaires either. They're people from Goldman Sachs. He promised to get rid of the lobbyists, and yet his administration is full of lobbyists. And he's not bringing coal back. Coal isn't back because it's all done because they blow up mountains. They don't send 100 coal workers down to do an honest day's work, hard work, backbreaking work down into the mountains. They hire 3 people, they blow up the mountain, they rain all those toxins into our water, making the poisons go from West Virginia all the way down, well, down the Potomac River, down past my house in Alexandria, Virginia, down past D.C. But you don't need 100 people to blow up a mountain. 2 or 3 will do. That's why coal is dying. Manufacturing is dying because it's gone to automation. This is technology. This is the way of the world. That's the hard truth, that Donald Trump never told these people. My question for you is, when these people join the Trump cult, should we, who knows the truth, who knows the emperor has no clothes, should we tell them they're being lied to? Or should we be nice and not be condescending and let them live their own self-destructive lives? That's my question today. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about Trump voters. Do they just get angry if you let them know they've been lied to? They just hate you more? How do you reach someone living in a cult? It's hard to do. I tried it with my friend in Los Angeles, and he rejected me until years later he recognized what he'd done. What would you do with someone who is a member of the Jonestown cult, the cult of Jim Jones, and is about to drink the Kool-Aid? What would you tell them? You tell them that Jim Jones is not the Messiah and they might react on you angrily. How dare you tell me what to do? Who do you think you are? Why do you think you're smarter than I? They might say as they drink the Kool-Aid. What's our answer? 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2275. Georgia, Massachusetts on line one. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I think one of the main reasons that people voted for Trump was not what he was going to do, but what he'd already done, which was get people like you angry, and angry at them. So at least there was somebody who recognized their existence. They were in the game for the first time. They were no longer ignored. And that was better, just that. Well, than I think anybody else except maybe Bernie Sanders was doing for them.
George, I agree with you, and I want to give you a quote by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. This is before he was president in 1960. This is a direct quote from Lyndon Johnson. He said, quote, "If you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you." Unquote.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I don't know that it's hallelujah.
I think that.
Go ahead, George.
That's definitely part of it. That's definitely part of the appeal there. But I think even without the racism, there's just this.
Well, I don't mean just
every
racism.
Every time I heard somebody from Hillary getting mad, I voted for Hillary, but getting mad at these people, I said, "Oh, it's just locking in their votes."
Well, that's exactly my point, George. And that's why I'm searching for answers here, because my point on Lyndon Johnson's quote is not only about racism; it's about people who.
I don't think it's just that he chipped them. I think they got more from him. Just in recognition.
Right. What they got from him was that their lives are miserable, and they're angry, and he said, it's okay that you're angry. He didn't give them any solutions. He didn't make their lives better. It's easier, I think.
No, but he got somebody else angry, which made their lives better.
George, I got to take a break. Stay around with me, and I'm happy to continue the conversation after the break. 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2275. You know, hating Mexicans and black people and elitists really doesn't give you a job, doesn't make you better off at all, but maybe that's all they wanted, the recognition that their hate was acceptable. My continuing conversation with George after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. George from Massachusetts had to go, but the point he raised is real, and I get it. He's saying that people allow themselves to be lied to because it makes them feel better. And if the people that they hate are unhappy, well, that makes them happy. I told you the quote from Lyndon Johnson back in 1960. I'm going to repeat it. If you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice that you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. As I told George, I think that quote is correct, and it's broader than racism. If you give someone who's feeling bad someone to look down upon, he'll look the other way while you pick his pocket. Heck, he'll empty his pockets for you. So what are we supposed to do? See, if you tell someone in a cult that you think they're joining a cult, they say to you, "What do you think I am, stupid?" Well, now, how do you answer that question? The truth is, you do think they're stupid. I certainly think people joining cults are stupid. I think people who believe Donald Trump's cons are stupid. Oh, Mark, but I'm told again and again and again. Mark, don't say that. Don't say that. You can't call stupid people stupid. They don't like that. Okay. I could do what a lot of politicians do and just lie to them. I could say, no, no, you're really smart. Vote for me. Donald Trump says he'll give you $1 million. I'll give you $1 billion. Donald Trump says he'll bring manufacturing back. I will give you all golden toilet seats. I could make more outrageous promises with more outrageous lies. I could say I'm not going to beat Donald Trump. I'm going to join him. What was I supposed to tell my friend joining the cult? What would you do? What do you do if your brother is about to walk off a cliff? You say, bro, wait, wait, I love you. I care about you. Look down before you continue in that direction. And he's like, who are you to tell me what to do? If I want to walk in this way, I'm going to walk. Wait, bro, you're about to jump off a cliff. Shut up. Don't attack me. I'm going to. You know how the story ends. Longtime listeners of this show know about an historical thing that, frankly, few people outside this show know about. It was called the 20 Negro Rule. And yes, it's as offensive as it sounds. You see, during the Civil War, 3/4 of white Southerners did not own slaves. But Mark, the Civil War was about slavery. I know. But the people fighting it on the Southern side, the majority weren't slave owners. The poor white Southerner was fighting for the right of the rich white Southerner to own and mistreat people more than the poor white Southerner himself was mistreated. And here's the kicker. If you had 20 slaves or more, if you were not just a Southerner who owned slaves, but a very, very rich one, you had a massive plantation, you didn't even have to go fight. You could stay on your plantation and manage those 20 Negroes and make sure that all of them, well, didn't revolt. So in the most brutal war in American history, the poor white Southerner died for honor. The honor of having some other guy, some rich guy, mistreat black people even worse. That's what they fought and died for. And due to the 20 Negro Rule, the very rich white Southerners didn't have to fight at all. How do you think they felt? Sitting on their veranda, lemonade in hand, watching those ridiculous rubes putting their lives on the line for the honor and glory of defending slavery and the plantation economy. And I'm sure rich Republicans are chortling at the stupid Trumpists who they know are going to suffer more because they're going to lose health care, they're going to lose jobs, their wages are going to go down, and the wealthy lobbyists and billionaires, they'll do better. And Donald Trump, he'll do the best of all. He'll be able to steal more in the greatest kleptocracy on earth. Kleptocracy, great word. Look it up if you don't know it. You may know what a kleptomaniac is. That's a guy who likes to steal. Well, a kleptocracy is a country ruled by the greatest thieves. Why did the white Southerner die in the Civil War? Why are rural people who are so miserable taking such joy that Mark Levine or others like me, those of us who live in cities, those of us who are doing pretty well, those of us who lead honorable lives with diverse people around us in economically well-off cities, they're enjoying that we're getting upset. Maybe. But that doesn't help their kids go to college. That doesn't make their lives better one iota. But they're enjoying it. Again, to quote Lyndon Johnson, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. Robert in Asheville, North Carolina, on line one. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Mark. So I've listened to your show many times. You stated that you're from Harvard, you're Jewish, and you hate the fact that you're from the South. And I believe
I don't hate the fact that I'm from the South. Wait, let me be clear about that. I have a strong love-hate relationship with the South. I just want to be clear. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. My family still lives there.
But I heard you say that on your show before. Now you got 3 hours. I'll barely have 30 seconds.
I want to be clear. I didn't say I hate the South. I have love and hate for the South. But go ahead.
Okay, but continually with the blatant racism and talk show hosts like you, yourself, and Norman Goldman, who are constantly putting down Christians, disparaging the South. They call it Mississippi.
Did I put down Christians? You haven't heard my show. When have I ever put down Christians?
Well, I have heard your show, but the problem is guys like you. So what you should do is look in the mirror, and you'll be certain to see who the problem is. It's guys like you who think you're better than each other, and instead of talking about racism all the time, you should have been talking about the 99% versus the 1%. People are tired of people like you who put out disinformation.
Wait. What disinformation did I put out?
Just like right now. You had to go all the way back to the Civil War to try to drag it forward here to the 21st century.
No, I talked about, I began, Robert, by talking about my friend who joined a cult.
21st century. It's guys like you who are the problem in this country, elitists like you, that have been first.
Robert, do you think Donald Trump is an honest man?
Absolutely not, but I'm not looking to get my moralities and ethics from a political leader. We're looking to get the government off of our back.
Okay, and do you think Donald Trump will get the government off of your back? Hold on, do you think that Donald Trump will get the government off of your back?
Your belief in global warming is just similar to what you opened your show with. It can't be questioned. It's like a cult. No one can talk about any other issues.
Robert, do you believe in science?
Absolutely, I believe in science.
Okay, do you think that scientists
should be able to take into a laboratory and reproduce the results over and over and over? That's what science is. It's not a.
That's what science is, really. So evolution is not science. Hold on. Is the Earth 4 billion years old or 6,000 years old?
I'm not getting into that conversation. What I'm
Well, you're not, because science will tell you that the Earth is 4 billion years old, even though that's not reproducible in the laboratory.
See, there you go again. You try to assume that people, see, you're constantly putting down white people. That's your number one
I'm
problem.
Putting down you white people? I am a white person.
I know you are, but you're Jewish also. See, right? I'm a Gentile. I'm the Goyim. And you're better than me because you're a Jewish guy, aren't you?
Did I ever say that? Have I ever said that? I've done thousands of radio shows, Robert. Have I ever said that? No, I haven't. Ever.
You intonate it. Don't you understand that?
No, what I'm telling you is that I think, look, the vote for Hillary Clinton was largely based on education, okay? That's true.
No, it wasn't. It's because she's a criminal, because it was pay for play, because of what happened.
Okay, all right. See, Robert, you believe a lot of things that are untrue. Now, I can tell you they're untrue.
Prove to me that it's untrue. Where are you getting?
Prove to me she's not a criminal? Wait, hold on. Hold on. You want me to prove? Wait, Robert, you want me to prove to you that Hillary Clinton is not a criminal? That's what you want me to prove to you? I'll tell you what.
Say because of what the Justice Department did?
Well, she hasn't broken a law, so wouldn't that make her not a criminal? She hasn't been indicted, and she's not going to be indicted.
That doesn't mean that someone didn't break the law. Because.
Well, Robert, how do I know that you're not a criminal? You know what? Robert, you're a criminal. There, I said it. How do I know it's true? Because I said it's true. Now, prove to me that you're not a criminal. Prove to me you're not a criminal.
Like you, because you are the problem. You are the one who...
I am the problem.
Guys like you help Trump win because of the way you act on the radio. You have no decency.
So Robert,
people. Because I raise my voice, you think you're better than me? Because you talk in a calm, cool manner, you're better than
me?
Oh,
my God.
Because you think you have your facts that you can force out people.
See, Robert, you remind me exactly of my friend who joined the cult.
To every white person out there, all you want to do is try to conflate. And, oh, by the way.
You remind me of my friend who joined the cult. This is exactly how we sounded. How would you approach someone about to make an awful choice? What would you say to them?
Are you still talking to me?
Yeah. Robert, I'm talking to you. Let's say you had a friend about to join a cult.
Every time I talk, you talk over me. How am I supposed to hear you? You understand even how it works?
Robert.
You don't have the decency to let a person speak. If I found a person who was going to do that, I tried to talk them out of it.
Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? What are you mostly angry at? Is it me?
Because you guys, it's so frustrating to try to explain. Please look in the mirror. Stop pointing out your window. Stop blaming everyone else. You need to look in the mirror and blame yourself.
My, you know, Robert, my life is good.
When you were growing up?
Robert, my life is good. I live in a city where things are good.
Did you go to one?
I worry about rural Virginians.
Jewish private schools when you were growing up?
No, I didn't. I went to, no, I didn't.
Oh,
there aren't even
okay.
that many
but
Jews in Nashville,
in
frankly.
Of the Washington, D.C. area.
What is your obsession with Jews? You know, I didn't raise anything Jewish this whole hour. Wait. Where did you get this Jewish Christian thing? I never brought up Judaism ever. I didn't say a word. Why do you think this is a Jewish thing?
Why do you have to point it out that you're a Jewish guy?
I didn't point it out. I don't think I pointed it out this show.
Quite frankly, people are tired of it.
Wait. People are tired of it. You said I'm Jewish, and then you said people are tired of it.
We're tired of guys like you putting it in our face.
Putting what in your face?
That you're better than everybody. That you think that you guys... That everybody,
Robert, the fact that I believe in science and you don't, that's an issue.
The problem is, you think the... See, are you going to let me talk? You think the problem is people are uneducated. They just can't understand. They're just too stupid to understand what they did. Oh, they're poor, dumb, and stupid, aren't they? Oh, they're just so stupid, aren't they? Those rural people. Well, what we have is people who want to put America first, second, and third.
Really? How are they going to do that?
Trillions of dollars overseas.
Whoa. How are they going to do that?
That's number one.
Trillions of dollars? Did you just say trillions of dollars overseas?
I just said billions with a B, just like we get 25% more to Israel.
25% more of what? Do you know what our whole foreign aid budget is? I'll give you a hint. It's about 1% of our budget. But you clearly got an issue with Jews, and I find that kind of interesting. Why don't you like Jews?
I have a business partner who's Jewish.
So you have a business partner who's Jewish, then you dislike your business partner?
People hear what you're saying to me. See how you're doing. You try to twist everything around. You talk.
I'm just trying to understand why you're so angry. I got callers that I'm not taking now who are asking me, why are you so angry? And I want you to answer the question. What are you so angry about?
We don't want to go back to the 50s like you do to try to drag up racism, which most
people
along quite
wait,
fine in this country. It's guys like you who take the 1% and try to conflate it to everyone else and try to pin the badge of racism on whites. And quite frankly, we're sick of it, and we've turned away from
are
you.
No whites racist?
You guys are dinosaurs. And by the way, you're on iHeartRadio that has 20... $20 billion with the bonds they can't pay on. You guys are bankrupt because you have
20 billion. We guys, who are we? Wait, hold on. Who are we guys? Are you talking about America?
I'm listening to you on iHeartRadio. They got $20 billion worth of bonds that they can't pay on.
I have no idea what iHeartRadio's financial bonds are, and I strongly doubt it's $20 billion. I really don't think it's that high, but you know what? That's
you don't think because you don't know.
I don't care.
You know everything. You're better than us. You're the chosen guy. Hey, why don't we listen to you all the time?
This is really interesting. See, it's very interesting because I really haven't had a lot of anti-Semites call in and really attack me on this radio show before, but I do think Donald Trump is bringing it out. How am I anti-Christian?
How about that?
How am I anti-Christian? How am I anti-Christian? What have I ever said that's anti-Christian? What have I ever said that's anti-Christian?
From Saudi Arabia, and when they're cutting off people's heads and they're throwing homosexuals off the roofs, when we have weapons sent into Yemen from Saudi Arabia that were paid for by the U.S. taxpayer.
Okay, so you're talking about foreign policy now. See, you're all over the map, Robert. You're all over the map.
Yeah,
look, if you disagree with Hillary on foreign policy, that's perfectly fair. We could talk about foreign policy. But you're really angry at me, and it's got something to do with my being Jewish, even though I didn't bring it up this show. And I find that really interesting, and I think...
We're sick and tired of guys like you who say, hey, we're Jewish, just like Norman Goldman.
I don't know Norman Goldman, so I'm not sure why you're attributing him to me. Do you think all Jews think alike and act alike?
Do you think all Christians and Southerners act alike?
Absolutely not.
That's what you're trying to intimate at the beginning of your show, wasn't you? That's exactly what you said.
That
you think
Christians and Southerners act alike? No.
There's a lot of super smart people out here who have a lot of common sense who haven't had the opportunity because it's been stolen from them by
okay. All right. How is opportunity? Wait, no, this is good. How has opportunity been stolen from you?
Because the money has been spent. For instance, they
what money?
The money into... The money that taxpayers spend, if we're paying...
You're telling me the money you're spending as a taxpayer doesn't go back to you?
Have you seen the infrastructure in this country?
I have. In fact, I have strongly advocated for more infrastructure spending. And when the Republicans stopped infrastructure spending, I was out there saying we need more infrastructure spending. I have been a strong advocate for infrastructure spending for more than a decade now. And I'll tell you something else, Robert, that you may not know. But the blue states subsidized the red states. Are you surprised to know that the people of New York and New Jersey only get about two-thirds of the money back that they spent on the government, while people in places like North Carolina and Mississippi get twice as much? Are you surprised to know that the blue states subsidize the red states, that you're getting more money back from the government than you spend? If you didn't know that, I suggest you look it up. I'm going to take a break, get some of my other callers. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Quite a contentious discussion, but I'm glad to have it. I'd like to hear what you think about it. In my view, wealthy Republicans are saying, hey, you know, focus on hating each other. That way, when we reduce your wages and your health care, pollute your air and water, we'll provide you with all the guns and bigotry you need to shoot each other. Heck, our private security will protect us from the unwashed, ignorant masses. Vote for Trump. Vote for hate. Watch the clown. Enjoy the circus. You gotta look the other way while we pick your pockets. All right, lots of callers and not much time left. I got a minute for each. Quick, Nick from California, line five.
Hey, you know, I've listened to you for a number of years. You know, I don't know, two, three, however long I'm wrong, you know, since I found you. Anyway, I've never heard you say half the stuff this guy says.
No. Anyway, apparently, he thinks all Jews think alike, and he's heard some other Jewish talk show host that he hates. If he doesn't like Norman Goldman, call Norman Goldman's show. But not all Jews are alike. I didn't even mention I was Jewish. No, what's his obsession?
Well, he did try to sneak in three or four different kind of conspiracy theories.
Right.
And
right,
I think the guy kind of, you know, looks at a bunch of websites that say, oh, you know, the reason we're in trouble is because of the Jews. Wasn't that the Republicans have blocked everything that can possibly help you?
That's right, Nick. I think you're right. I think he's part of alt-right. And so he believes Hillary's a criminal and global warming isn't real and Jews are out to get him. And and he's angry that I would say he's racist. Okay, friend, I didn't hear anything racist from him. I'll just call him anti-Semitic. That's fine. Oh, my God. Thanks for calling, Nick. I would spend more time with you, but I got to get to a couple other callers. I don't have much time left, but call back on Wednesday if you want to talk further. Let's go to Joe in Albuquerque, line two.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right, Joe.
Robert,
real quick.
Anyway, the problem with Democrats, and I'm a Democrat, proud one, is that we care too much for people like Robert. And it was Trump that basically said that he loves the poorly educated.
Yes, he did.
Now, my point is that I'm at the point that I don't want to care anymore. I would rather people like Robert and all the people that voted third party hit rock bottom, and maybe they will learn what it's like to have not. Because I'm going to be fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, Joe, and I'm going to be fine, too. And the sad thing is, I think they will hit rock bottom because Donald Trump isn't looking out for them. He's laughing at them as he picks their pockets. You're exactly right, Joe. Call in again Wednesday if you want to. Let me very quickly get to Jake in California, line four. Go ahead, Jake.
I'd just like to remind the listeners that if we want to see Michigan recount, we need another $1 million by Wednesday to go to jillstein.nationbuilder.com. That's jillstein.nationbuilder.com. Let's get these states recounted so we can find out who really won those states, and then we can see at the Electoral College vote December 19th who the president-elect actually
Fair point, Jake. I have to tell you, I don't think that the recount's going to be successful, but I have no problem doing it. If that's how you want to spend your money, let's check. Maybe there was a conspiracy. I don't know. I do know that we need voting machines with paper records. This is Mark Levine. Been an interesting show. I'll be back Wednesday. Tune in then for the Inside Scoop.